Well, amen. It is a blessing to be here. And if you'll turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Thank you, Brother Doug. I'll read the scripture and let you be seated. And by the way, just before I do, let me say this. This is Faith Missions Conference. And there's one good thing about Faith Missions. At least one time a year, for churches I'm talking about, at least one time a year, your people will get in touch with God. Because if they're going to give, they're going to make sure it's of God. All right. I'm sorry. I'm just joking around. But anyway, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to be in consideration. I used to give to missions before I did with Faith Promise. And you know, I'd say I'm going to give if I've got it. But there's more times I didn't have it than I did. But now I pray. I find out what God says to give. We give that first, just after the tithe.
Right.
And then we live on the rest.
Amen.
And I've never not had my faith promise to give.
Right.
And I've never not been able to pay my bills.
Right.
Because he said there would be a good work there in 2 Corinthians 9. And it's a good work to pay your bills and to pay them on time.
Right.
Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to call upon your name one more time. Thank you, dear God, for the blessing of being here at Allen Ford Baptist Church. I do pray, Lord, for the services here tonight. I pray for other services that are going on tonight where your people are meeting together. I pray for Joshua as he preaches there at Sturgis. Thank you, Lord, for using him. I pray, Lord, for the church at Larned as they meet tonight, Lord, and your help there in that service and other services, Lord. Our sending church, I pray that you'll work there. And, dear Lord, each one, no doubt here, would think of places where your people meet. But, Lord, we're here tonight, and I pray that you'll meet with us and give us strength and guide us, bless the furtherance of the service and everything that's said to the glory of God, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Now I'm on. All right. Thank you, sir. I must have pushed the mute when I thought I pushed the power. All right. I may have used this same text the last time I was here. I know I've used it, but it's not the same message, so don't turn me off. But I want to use this, and I want to think just upon the thought of the glorious gospel.
Amen.
Not necessarily a missions message, yet without this element, we would have no missions.
Right.
I mean, you know, I know there's social things that people do and all of these kinds of things and things to help people economically. I was in a church in North Carolina when I first started, and I made the statement that we was going to the small towns. We were going to work with the small towns was our plans, at least for that time. And one of the young men after service said, he said, maybe you could get a business started there and it would help the economy. And that would be all right. You know, I mean, if I'd be glad for our economy to be helped.
Sure.
And I tell people in our church that we've got a motel straight across from us. They give us about a third off when we have someone in. And there's two other motels in town and they won't do it. And so I tell our people, pray for the motel across the street.
Right.
We've got a man in our church that owns a slaughterhouse and has also has a retail meat market. He gives good. And I say, let's pray for him.
Right.
You see, and I'm not trying to be selfish.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But I made the statement the other day. I believe a good turn deserves a good turn.
Yes.
And so nothing wrong in trying to help people economically. But when we talk about missions, we're talking about seeking to reach people for Christ.
Right.
And the only way that can be done is for the gospel to be spread.
Right.
We must do that. And so I want to give you just a few thoughts about the gospel and then mention to you. And it's a very elementary message, but yet this is where I'm at. And so this is what I believe. When my son asked me, this is the thought that I had had on my heart. And so this is what I'm going to share. I can do that and then get out of my way and enjoy the rest of the meeting, the couple of nights that I'll be able to be here. So I appreciate that. The gospel is based on historical facts, as we all know. It's not based on human reasoning.
Right.
It's not based on imagination.
Right.
It's not based on myths or phenomena. The gospel is based on historical facts. We all that have been in church very long, and certainly all of us that are saved by the grace of God, understand that the gospel is based upon facts.
Right.
When we read in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Now that's a message all in itself. I preached it to you, you received it, and you stand. I heard Dr. Tommy Wentzel on a tape that I was coming in. I heard him on the radio too. But I heard him on a tape that he had sent me. And he made this statement. I don't even remember what he was preaching on. But he said this, and I agree wholeheartedly with him. He said, if there has not been a break of sin, he said, I'm not talking about that we live perfectly. But he said, if there's not been a break with sin in your life, you have no right to call yourself a believer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So he said here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, which you also have received, and wherein you stand."
Amen.
He said, "By which also you're saved." And then he goes on to say, "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received."
Right.
Paul said, "It's the way I say,
right.
I received
right.
it." He said, lost my place, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. This is the gospel in a nutshell.
Right.
How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now He goes on to give us details about some of the people that saw it. And he said, he mentions several different people, and then he said of above 500 brethren at one time.
That's right.
I'm telling you, the gospel is more documented than this meeting tonight.
Right.
The gospel was more documented. And so it's historical facts.
Amen.
It's not myth. It's not human reasoning in all of this. Certainly, if we had been planning, I mean, if a human being, I believe, had been planning the way to get to heaven, it would not have been through the gospel.
Right.
And everybody would have missed it.
Yep.
Because this is the only way.
Right.
to get to heaven. And so the gospel is, if you will, based on historical fact, the gospel also is simple. And I just gave it to you. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
According to the Scriptures. The Scriptures tell us exactly how it was done.
Right.
And we don't have any right. And we certainly better not change anything about it. If we do, then we'll not only hurt ourselves, but we'll hurt everybody that hears it.
Right.
You know, you can just change one little thing about some things, and it changes everything. That proved it right there.
Yep.
Just my mistake. Just change one little thing. All I done was moved a button. And the brother said, I'm not on. And I moved the button. And then he said, your mute's on.
Yeah.
Two little buttons. And it messed up everything. One was one way and one was the other. But that wasn't as important as the gospel is.
Right.
You give somebody the wrong way to get to heaven,
yep,
and they'll die lost.
Right.
I mean, there are people, I'm convinced with all of my heart, they believe in their hearts that they're going to heaven.
Yep.
I would imagine that there'll be people that'll be surprised when they wake up in hell.
Yes, right.
I've heard all kinds of things, it seems like.
Yep.
And, you know, even some of them that borders on being humorous. But it's nothing humorous about having the wrong thing.
Right.
Every once in a while I put an address into my GPS and it takes me somewhere and it says, you have reached your destination.
Yeah.
And I may be... have no idea where I am.
Yeah.
Getting to Brother Sexton.
Yeah, right.
It took me down a road and told me to make a left turn. And there's a 10-foot chain link fence there,
yeah,
where I was to make that turn. I had to call and figure out some things. My GPS didn't know where I was going. But it told me I'd reached my destination in a lot different place than where Brother Sexton's church was. And certainly, people that give forth a message and they say this is the way to go to heaven,
right,
and that message is wrong, a lot of people's going to think that they're going to one destination,
yep,
when they'll end up in another.
Yes, sir.
But the gospel's simple. We certainly, I mean, I can mess up simple things. But if we just stay with the book and preach what the Word of God says.
Right.
Now listen, I love to dig into the Bible and get some meat.
Yeah.
And I love to hear the Word of God preached and just sit at the feet of men that God has helped them, and they've searched out the Scriptures and they give the truths. There's men here tonight like that I could call your name that has helped me,
right,
in things like that. But when it all comes down, even the ones that give forth the meat of the Word, they are not, if they do right before God, they're not going to change this little simple fact, if you want to call it a little simple fact, of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Scripture.
Amen.
Now I understand. I said that's the gospel in a nutshell. But what about the death, burial, and resurrection? And that's when we must enlarge on it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven to be the payment for our sins. Dying on the cross, giving His life in our place that we might have eternal lack. But the gospel starts out as simple. And so as we think about it, it's based on historical fact. It's simple and certainly it is beneficial. I mean, thank God for the gospel. I'm telling you today, the gospel, I'd be lost and probably already in hell, not just, but I would at least be on my way to hell. I was on my way to hell until the moment that I received Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that it's the first time. I think it probably is. But I remember the first time that God ever pricked my heart with conviction. I remember also the second time. I mean, that's my memory. You understand what I'm saying? There might have been different times, but there's two times when I was a boy that is very real. I could take you to the place and tell you, you know, just show you the place where I was and the things that that happened. But I didn't get saved either one of those times. But God, thank God, God kept on dealing with me. He had mercy upon me, and my preacher kept preaching to me until finally it sunk in through this thick head and this black heart that the only way that I could go to heaven was on somebody else's account.
Amen.
I couldn't go. I'm telling you one thing. If a hyper-Calvinist had gotten a hold of me, they might have convinced me that I was one of those that was elected to go to hell. I'm just telling you the truth now. But listen, God continued to deal with my heart, and there came a time that I trusted Him as my personal Savior. He birthed me into the family of God. I cried out unto Him, and He saved me by His marvelous grace. But listen to me. If somebody, and actually several somebodies, but my pastor, Brother Muncy Absher, he just kept on preaching and kept on preaching that we needed to be saved. And so finally it sunk in and I realized it. And God kept dealing with my heart and I trusted Him and He saved me. And I'm going to tell you, it sure was and is beneficial.
Amen.
I mean, I'm enjoying it now. But to think that the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Hall, died for my sins. Not just that He died for the sins of the world, and thank God for that, and I'm a whosoever. And I use it many times about the blood, Exodus 12, verses 3, 4, and 5. He said that, he talks about the blood, but as He talks about it, He first talks about it in a general thing. He's talking about the lamb. He said you take a lamb.
Yep.
The next verse says you take the lamb. And the next verse says your lamb.
Yep.
And so friends, as you look at that, you find out that God was speaking to us. He died for our sins. Can I tell you something else when I talk about the gospel being beneficial? It's beneficial to us in that He took my place. He took your place. He died for us. He stayed on the cross. He cried out, "It is finished," but He stayed on the cross until it was finished. Now, He's been doing a lot of things and He's still doing something tonight. He's there in heaven doing something for us. He's making intercession for us. But I want to tell you, He finished the way of salvation on the cross of Calvary. And then went on to do the things that He needed to do. He died for our sins. And I'm telling you that He died scripturally.
Amen.
He died scripturally.
Yes.
They sought to take him. They tried to stone him. They tried to do different things to take him. But that was not the way God had planned.
Right.
God had planned that he would be hanged on a cross. And you've heard it preached before that even back in the Old Testament when the prophets may not have known what they were saying, but they was testifying to the fact that that the Messiah would come. They was testifying to the fact that God would send someone and he would be hanged upon a cross. The Romans hadn't even invented crucifixion yet. So he died scripturally. And in dying scripturally, he died once for all. He died once for all.
Amen.
He's never going to die again.
Right.
He's never going to die again. I told somebody one time that was having some struggles in trying to, in other words, trying to get saved. You know the phrase. I mean, I tried for years. But I found out I couldn't get saved. I couldn't save myself.
Right.
But if I'd trust Him, He'd do it for me.
Amen.
And so that's what brought it about. But I told someone, I said, He's done all He's going to do for you to get saved. He's never going to do anything else for you to get saved. Oh, something else may come along that may cause you to believe down the road, or another preacher may bring a message from a little different point. But I'm saying that the Lord Jesus Christ has done all He's going to do for anyone to be saved.
Yes,
and it's sufficient. It was once for all.
Amen.
Thank God for that. And listen, the gospel's personal. The gospel's personal. It was connected to Christ. It's tied intricately and exclusively to Him.
Amen.
Neither is there any other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, He said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I remember one time we were starting Vision Baptist Church and Pharaoh was just a boy and we was meeting in an old house and we had a revival meeting, and boy, God began to move around there. We filled up that, I mean, God filled up that little old house, and the preacher didn't have much room. I mean, we had people seated about everywhere, and it was summertime, and no air conditioning, and we raised the windows and opened the doors, and people sat outside and heard the gospel.
Amen.
Well, during the invitation, somebody came to me, and told me about a man, called a man's name. I went to school with him. And he said, he wants to talk to you. And so I slipped outside and went out and talked to him. And he said, Plato, I believe you're the man that can save me. And I called his name. And I said, if I'm the man that can save you, you're going to hell. Because I can't save you. But what he was really talking about was that he had seen God do a work in my life, and he trusted that I had gotten saved and that I knew the way. And anyway, that's the way. But the gospel's personally, it's tied exclusively and intricately to Him. There are many that have said over the years that they are the Messiah. There are many that are teaching people today, you follow me and it'll be all right, and I'll save you. But I'm telling you today, there is no other. You know all of this, but I, every once in a while, I think we need a refresher course. When I was counseling Joshua and Katie, they asked me to counsel him while he was out there. And on Saturday, I did. And one of the things, then through that and through just getting some notes and everything to be able to do that, then God began to stir in my heart. And so Sunday night, I used the basis of that and I preached a message to the people there. And I said this, we're, and there was no young couples there. But I said, every once in a while, we maybe need a refresher course.
Amen.
And so I think that's true, not only in our marriage relationships and things like that, but also in the fact of the gospel and what is it we're about? What is it we're doing? And we think about it and that we recognize then that the gospel is personal. It's Him. You can't go anywhere else. If you want to buy you a Chevrolet truck, you can go this place and that place and the other place and all of this. But if you want to be saved, there's one person you have to go to. He's got the exclusive rights. He's the one. It is salvation. The gospel is tied intricately and exclusively to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And friends, it's so personal that it must be received personally to benefit you. The reason I use that Exodus 12 so many times about the lamb, at that time, I don't think they actually knew that the Lamb of God was going to be personified in the Lord Jesus. I don't think that they knew that. But He did tell them that it's your lamb. You see, they could have a lamb. They could have the Passover lamb. But until that they took action with it and that lamb became personal unto them, they were still lost. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. As far as in my fleshly body was possible, I believed that there was a God.
Sure.
I believed that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. But it had not become my personal possession.
Right.
It had not come to me at that time. I mean, I wanted to believe. I wanted to be saved.
Yes.
Nobody had to convince me I was a sinner. I have a hard time, if you will, and I know we can't do it. I have a hard time even finding people that recognize that they're lost.
Right.
Most people think they are, and they'll be offended if you tell them that their way is not sufficient.
Right.
I put up on a sign. I put up on a sign that said the church is a hospital for sinners. And I saw that somewhere and I thought, great, that's wonderful, that's good. It's a place for hurting people.
Right.
Do you know what? I got one of those letters that before they got it wrote, they forgot to write the name down to tell me who they was. But anyway, I got one of those letters.
Yeah.
And that letter, I mean, it raked me over the coals and was very offended that I actually said that they were a sinner. Wow. If I'd have known their name. I wouldn't have put it up there, but my flesh would. My flesh would. It's amazing, though. But I knew. I guess it was because I had a preacher, and I had a mother, and from 11 years old, I had a dad that was saved. And so, therefore, I grew up believing with head knowledge, but I had not personally received Him.
Right.
Time will not permit to go into, and I'm not talking about just believing and that's it. I understand that if God doesn't take the initiative, nobody's going to be saved.
Right.
So we can't convince people. By the way, somebody said this that I was talking to in the last little while. It's not just that lost people won't believe. They can't believe until God does something in their heart. That's just the way it is. But one of the ways that God does something is for us to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I want to close by saying the gospel's glorious in that you and I, let me say it like this. The gospel brings hope to the sinner.
Amen.
The gospel brings hope to the sinner. When I looked at my life as a young man, And I saw the things that was already, the black marks, if you will, of sin that was against me. And I saw how many times I tried to do better because I did not want to go to hell.
Right.
I've got a little boy in our church. He's still not gotten saved. But he says, I do not want to go to hell. That's the way you'll say it. He's about 10 years old. And he can tell you what the gospel is, but he keeps saying, he's the first Sunday school boy that we got. And he keeps saying, I do not. He don't say I don't. He says, I do not want to go to hell. I was talking with him one night, and he come to me after we had talked. He came back to me, and he said, Pastor, he said, somebody told me that I didn't have to tell it. And I said, what I was telling him was that not only was there a believing, but there's a confessing.
Right.
You know, and I'd talked to him about repentance and all of this. But he come back just out of the blue and said, Pastor, somebody told me that I didn't have to confess it before it. I said, who told you that? I was getting ready to go talk to them. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I said, who told you that? He said, I do not know whether it was God or the devil. And I said, let me show you what the Bible says right here.
Yeah.
And when I showed him what the Bible said, this is honest truth. This is what he done. He said, I hate you, devil. Just like he's looking at him. Just like he's looking at him. And I told my wife, I said, there's something holding that. He's not a big boy. There's something holding that boy.
Yeah.
There's something has affected him beyond what we're seeing.
Yes, sir, yes.
But if he ever gets saved, it'll be because he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
That God will save him in spite of whatever the devil says. Because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. The gospel is glorious because it reveals unto us our sin and relieves us of our sin debt.
Amen.
Thank God for that. I'm through, son.